Vectis Radio. It's Macca in the morning, and we're now joined by a madman across the water. I've been working that one out all day. Roger Pope, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. That's a really good one. Dude, I played on that album. That Tiny Dancer was on that album. We did three numbers that night, and I'd gone from laying main drainage pipes, because Hookfoot wasn't doing very well at the time, and I got there and I was covered in cement dust, because I was working a great big cement skipper, hopper thing, and we went up there, and during the course of the night, the cement sort of started to sort of... And we did three numbers in one evening, in one night there, which was pretty fantastic. And, you know, a lot of bands, they take 2 years to do an album. We did three numbers in one night.
Covered in cement.
Tiny Dancer was fabulous.
Well, do you know what? That's one of my favourite ever Elton John tracks. My favourite is the next track on the album.
Which I can't remember what that is.
Leave On.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Love that song. So, I mean, we're going back quite a way, because obviously you were Elton John's drummer, and you were the first album you worked on was 69, is that right?
Yeah, 69. Yeah, that was his very first album. He was still called Reg Dwight then, and our bass player had gone up to London, and Caleb Quay, the guitarist, he had been asked, who was a friend of Elton. He'd been a lifelong buddy of Elton's. He'd been asked to produce this Reg Dwight's album, and he needed to get some musicians, and he asked me to come up and do it, me and the bass player. And we did Empty Sky, which wasn't very commercially successful. That was the one before Elton John, which was huge. You know, that's the one that broke him around the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Empty Sky in its own right is a very, very good album. I love it. It's brilliant. But so that was that. That's how it all started.
Well, a lot of people say that, you know, a lot of the early stuff for Elton John was his far superior stuff. I must admit, you know, I'm a fan of Empty Sky. I'm a fan of the Tumbleweed Connection, and we can talk about that a little bit later on. But how did you cope with going from having to call someone Reg to Elton? Did he kind of announce that, here, hang on a minute, you've got to call me Elton from now on?
We used to call it the Gaff. It was Dick James's old studio that was in New Oxford Street, and there used to be a lot of the guys used to hang out up there. And I've never actually ever called him Elton. Never, ever. We used to call him Sid.
Sid. Right.
Because it was like a nickname, and everyone was kind of Sid. And it was funny, because when he got his knighthood, his sound man, Clive Franks, who's a brilliant engineer, brilliant. He used to call him Sir Sid, which Sir I think Sid. Is fabulous. I couldn't call him Elton, man. I couldn't.
Sid, I like that. Sid, that's easy enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like man, because everyone in the old days used to call everyone man, because everyone was so, you know what I mean, that you couldn't remember anyone's name anyway, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All those stories are true.
So, I mean, crikey, I mean, you've worked on Empty Sky, there was a Tumbleweed Collection, and let me see, other Elton stuff, Madman Across the Water, which is, of course, another highly acclaimed album. And in between, you know, you were working with guys like Cliff Richard, 1970.
Oh, yeah, I did do a single for Cliff, My Kind of Life. Which, when he did, there was a six-week show on Beeb about his life. They used to use that as the opening track. But I've worked with a lot of people. Because of the Elton John thing, me, Caleb, and Dave Glover, who was the bass player, who was on Tumbleweed and Madman, Elton wanted us to back him, to be his band. But we got into... We didn't want to do it because it was like structured songs. Me and Caleb, we were into like improvisation and into like experimental stuff. You know, I mean, Hendrix was a big influence, not so much the drummer because I couldn't stand him, but, just where it was going from. And just playing with Elton was, you know, it wasn't quite what we wanted to do. So we formed a band called Hookfoot, which we were together for about 5 years, but at six albums, and we weren't that successful commercially, but we were like a musicians band. Everyone would come to see us, and we were very successful in America. We spent most of our time in America. We toured America at least 3 times a year. You know, it was a wonderful, wonderful time, and it was a fabulous band as well. And from there, obviously that folded, and I went on to join Kiki D band because they wanted a bit of help, and I've got the music in me. So I did that, and they liked what I did on it. They wanted it oomphing up a bit. The track had already been done, but I had to come in and overdub another drum kit on it. And from there, they asked me to do the album. And we then got offered to go on this huge 100-date tour of America, opening up for Elton. And we only had to do like a 40-minute spot, which was absolutely fantastic because we were playing in front of everybody and anybody. And Elton was watching me from the sides, from the wings. And they used to have microphones behind and do backing vocals and everything for Kiki. Because Elton and Kiki are so tight, you know, they've always loved each other. And Kiki is such a wonderful artist anyway. And from that, I got a phone call one morning and Elton said, I'm wrapping up the Kiki D band. And I went, oh, thanks very much. You put me out of work. He said, no, I want to put a new band together. He said, I want to call it the Elton John Band. You're the only person that I can think of at the moment that I definitely want in it. Will you come into the office and we can discuss who to have in the band? And at the time, Elton was so big, we could get anybody we wanted. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like rubbing Genie's lamp, you know what I mean? It's like Aladdin's lamp. And it was just fantastic. We were just suggesting names for people, but Elton basically knew who he wanted. But that was just so fantastic. It was fantastic.
I'm just looking at the list of stuff that you worked on. I mean, Blue Moves and Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, one of my favourite albums.
Yeah, I didn't actually play on that.
You didn't? Well, it's on your list here, on some website here that says you got a credit for it.
No, I didn't play on that, but when Elton put the new band together, the very first gig we did was Wembley.
Right.
Wembley Stadium. And Elton decided that we would do the whole of the Captain Fantastic album that the general public had not heard, which was not a very good idea on his part, because that concert had gone on all day long, and we followed the Beach Boys, and the Beach Boys had sort of gotten everybody up, and like Elton, we came on with Elton. It was a really bad move, and me and Elton have talked about it since, and he says that was one of the worst decisions that he ever made, was doing that, because no one knew the numbers, and you can't do side one and side two of a brand new album with a brand new band that no one's ever seen before. It didn't bomb, but it was not a good move.
Just goes to show that even if you're, because I mean, he was huge back then, and that album was huge as well. It just goes to show, just because you've got a name, you know, you can't. There's limitations.
It's just. That was not a good move to do at a concert that people had been at all day long, and et cetera. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, we want to talk about the new project that you're going to be working on, but, I mean, there's so many other things as well that I want to ask you. I mean, you know, do you still keep in touch with Elton?
Last time I saw Elton was when he did Broadlands, because me and him fell out.
Right.
No, I'm not going to say why, but it's ever so silly, but we've made friends since. Last time I saw him was in New York. I took my lady Sue over to New York to see him at Madison Square Garden, which is really weird because that's the first time that I'd been to Madison Square Garden since the last time, which was the very last gig that I ever played with Elton. We did a week there. We still hold the record in Madison for the most audience, etc. And that was the very last time that I played with Elton, was at Madison. And then I, you know, went over there to see him there, which was a nice weekend in New York. But Elton's, he's a really lovely guy. I've been talking to Davey, and he's guitarist, he's his musical director now. And Elton doesn't even hang out with the band anymore. I'm not knocking him or anything, but he doesn't, the band don't see him except when they're on stage. They don't travel together, and yeah, it's kind of sad because that's not what music's about.
But he's busy changing nappies nowadays, isn't he? Oh, that takes up all his time.
Now, yeah, right. Yeah. He got another one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, you never learn.
That was news this week. You never learn. I don't know. So, do you send each other Christmas cards or anything like that?
No, I was going to send him hand grenade once, and then he'd have been missing. But.
All right. So, I mean, you've
no,
worked.
No, I'm cool with Elton. You know what I mean? But no, Elton's on a different planet, man. You know, he moves in a world that you just would not believe. I mean, he's a lovely, lovely guy. We had such a crack in that band, that Elton John band. We were so tight. There was no egos or nothing. He actually said, and I've got a copy of it. He actually said in an interview that he was the worst musician in the band. And kind of he was, you know.
You carried him.
But, I had an absolutely fantastic time in that band. And, you know, I mean, what a thing to have done in your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you think back at that period of time, is there one song that you did together as a band with Elton that you can say, right, that was up there, that's the pinnacle, that's my moment?
No, not one song. Because everything was so you can't describe it. We did Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. We did 2 days there. And it was... And all our equipment, the Eagles went on before us and other bands. And, you know, I'm not dismissing them, but I'm just saying, you're focused on what you're doing. And, you know, the whole stage moved forward. It was all on runners, and it just all moved forward in this place. And there's 72,000 people there in the stadium, and the roar from the crowd. It just brought tears to my eyes and a tingle down my spine.
Oh, magical!
It was just amazing. We had two. It was Elton John week when we were there. I mean, he put his hands in the, you know, he got his star and everything. And it was Elton John week in Los Angeles. It was an unbelievable time. Unbelievable. And he did the Troubadour, which was a little club that he first did when the Elton John album came out. And Doug Weston, who owned the Troubadour, he signed Elton to play there. And he said, right, I'll put you on, but I'm going to... And part of the contract is you've got to come back and play for me for the same amount of money as that you're getting tonight. Whenever I ask you to, right? So we did this gig. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard, and it was $500 a ticket, which was a lot of money in those days. But Elton did it for the same amount of money. I think it was about $500 or something.
Wow!
And no, it was amazing, amazing time.
Do you know what you got some amazing stories, and you know, 10 minutes just doesn't do it justice. I know that a good friend of yours, Keith Hayward, has written a book on Elton John, and he's going for a launch in February. I'm just got kind of thinking getting you two guys to come in to the studio, do a 3-hour show, get it all out there. We'll just do Elton John hook foot music for 3 hours, a bit of a jam on radio. What do you think?
I'd absolutely love to do that, man. Because I mean. You know, the Georgie thing, well, obviously, we're talking about. But me and Keith, yeah, would gladly come and do that because he's written a fantastic book, you know, about Tin Pan Alley, and, you know, which is about music publishers. It was a street in New York, and some critic from the New York Tribune, that's how the name came about, Tin Pan Alley. No one really knows how it came about. But there were so many music publishers in the street with these real cheap pianos, these cheap old uprights they used to get in the pub in the old days, you know, like Chaz and Dave sort of pianos. And everyone was banging out a tune, and they said, it sounds like a lot of people banging on a lot of old pans and tin pans. You know, that's how it got called, Tin Pan Alley. And he's written this book, and it's a fabulous book. He's managed to get interviews with people who don't normally do interviews. There's some very, very serious stories in there. And no one's knocking Elton in it, But there's a lot of little stories about certain different, you know, bits about Elton that no one knows. It's a really good book. I know that it's going to be a good seller.
I look forward to getting a copy of that and chatting to Keith about that at a later date.
I don't know what he's put in there, what I've said. I think I'd had a couple at the time, you know what I mean?
Now, tell us about this new project that you're working on, New Beginning. Tell us about Georgie, tell us about how it all came about and your part in it.
Right, okay. A mate of mine, Aaron Fisk, and his mate Matt, they've got a little studio here in Netley called Silent Rooms, and I've known him for quite a while, and he said that he'd got this girl singer, Georgie, and he asked me to come down, so I went down there, and he's got a drum kit down there already, and we were just going through a few of Georgie's numbers. I thought, wow, this is cool, and because she's a really nice person, she's a lovely person, and she's really got a serious talent. She's obviously very young and sort of, you know, it needs nurturing, you know. But anyway, some of these tracks, Keith Haywood sent off to Martin Ford, and Martin Ford was very impressed, but he said, wow, I like her voice. And he had this number from this Tao, the Vietnamese girl who wrote New Beginnings, and he thought it would be a really good idea to put Georgie on to this particular track. But then at the same time, he thought, right, it'd be interesting to do it as well, put a little band together and just do a different version of it. It's kind of enhance what's already been down. So basically that's how it happened. And we went up to Cardiff and did it, and it turned out to be really good. I'm really, really pleased with it. I'm well impressed with it. And also because of this now, we have a chance to really further Georgie's cause, because she has got some fabulous songs, and it just needs tweaking. They need tweaking, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's a great song, and I know it's going to lead to other things, because as part of the other project, the other side of the project is not music, it's something completely different, which we'll be chatting about on the show tomorrow. But there is a connection, there is a chance that you could come to the festival, the Isle of Wight Festival and the festival as well, at some point, maybe this year, next year, because I know it's an 18-month sort of programme of events. I mean, I'd love to see you at the festival. I think that'd be great.
Well, if you know the man who runs it, tell him to get us in now while he still can, while we're still cheap.
While we're still cheap. Do you know what? I could talk to you all day.
Man. Well, listen, please do, because I've got loads of stories. But I thank you very much for doing the thing with Georgie all this week. I think it's brilliant. And good luck. And get me and Keith in, and we'll do a three-hour show. I could talk forever, you know.
Yeah, I've got a feeling you could. Do you know what? I hope this don't insult you, but you kind of remind me of a cross between Keith Moon and Animal off the Muppets.
Man, that's really weird, because I can tell you a real quick story.
Go on, then.
Keith Moon, the first time I got married, I've been married three times. I wish I'd met the lady I'm with now, Sue, and then I wouldn't have been married three times. I'd have been with her all my life. But the first time I got married, Keith Moon was my best man, and Animal... I know Jim Henson. I met him in Marin County. Marin County is the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. We were doing a gig there, the lion's share. This is like 1970. Christ, were you born then? I don't even know.
Yeah, I was, sadly.
Anyway, and he just loved it, because I was a little animated then, as you can well imagine. And I think that he did... It was me, Keith Moon, and Ginger Baker that he did the thing with Animal. That was his... He put the three of us together and came up with Animal, which, you know...
What a great story.
I don't know if it's true, but...
That's a brilliant story.
Who could prove it, you know, he did. Don't mean that nasty.
Hey, look, Roger, we're going to see you very soon.
Right.
Guarantee it. We're gonna get that sorted out. You come down with Keith, and we'll launch his book, and you come in and do a 3-hour show. That'd be fantastic. I look forward to that. It's been brilliant to talk to you. I feel like I should sit down on the floor and cross-legged and hear some more of your stories. But
loads of them.
Great. Bring them. When you come back, that'll be fantastic.
All right, man.
Take
care. Thank you very much for all this. I really appreciate it.
Introduce the song, Roger.
Oh, it's Georgie with New Beginnings, and it's lovely.
till it's too late. So take this message home. You are not alone. It's the things we do today. Start making changes in many ways. Take a look.
Beautiful song. Georgie Cullen Band and New Beginnings. This is Vectis Radio. It's